Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking for an all-natural solution to skincare? Try Simplicita all-natural skincare products. Coconut oil locks in moisture with nature's finest organic solution. Rich with vitamin E and rejuvenating proteins, it can help with enhancing skin nourishment for wrinkles, skin damage, tissue repair, and more. Simplicita skincare line includes Simplicita coconut oil, Simplicita bath salts, and Simplicita bath gel. Get healthier looking skin today. Order all three today for $40 at www.simplicita.com. And I know for a fact that it helps with diabetic edema. My husband has edema on both of his legs. He is insulin dependent, and he also has very dry skin on his feet and toes, and it has made a world of difference. You definitely want to go to www.simplicita.com and order her products today. They do not have any unnatural ingredients or any preservatives. It is all simply coconut oil with maybe a little jasmine. Order it today. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your favorite off-the-chain host, Yvonne Mason. As you all know, anything and everything will go on this show. I do a variety of subjects because I am off the chain. I am eclectic and I like to spread the wealth around. I found out a couple of days ago that there was something going on in my community that disturbs me. And it disturbs me because I live in a community that has thousands of elderly and disabled people that live there. And in this community, there is a service that is offered that runs completely on donations. It has been around for about 36 years. And if you live in Port St. Lucie, I'm sure you've seen the non-emergency ambulances going through town, back and forth, transporting the disabled that cannot get out on their own to get to a doctor's appointment, a therapy appointment, or even to a procedure at a hospital. Well, I found out service is being kicked out of yet another building. Silly doctors. It's the Port St. Lucie Non-Emergency Ambulance Service. They are a 501c3. They're a non-for-profit, and they provide non-emergency transportation for the elderly and shut-in that have absolutely no other way to get to their appointments. This ambulance is equipped with any medical equipment that is needed for the patient while they are in transport. Jeff and Tina Ross run this company. Jeff is the president and the head EMT, and Tina, well, let's just say, bless her heart, she pulls her hair out and gets ulcers trying to keep them in a building so they can stay operative for the community. I wouldn't have her job because I'd be beating on somebody's head. This company is strictly run on donations, and I mean strictly run on donations. Now they're in dire straits. They are in their second location, and they're fixing to lose that location. They have from now until December to find another place to go. They can't go to just any office building because the ambulances have to be in a controlled environment because of the life-saving equipment that is in the ambulance. So now, I am coming to you guys in my community. I'm coming to real estate agents. I'm coming to business people. I'm coming to the chambers. I'm coming to anybody that has a building they might can use. I don't want to lose this asset to our community. So, without further bloviating, well, I'm going to bloviate a little bit more. This was a letter written from a lady that used to live in our community. Her name was Mary Brooks, and she's from Dothan, Alabama. And she put it in our paper. And she said, Port St. Lucie Volunteer Ambulance Service is a Treasure Coast gem. As a former resident of Port St. Lucie for 26 years, I know of a tremendous treasure in the Treasure Coast about which few seem to be aware. The Port St. Lucie Volunteer Ambulance Service is a local service with licensed emergency medical technicians who are absolutely lifesavers for my husband and me. They run strictly from donations and are available by appointment if ambulance transportation is needed. As anyone knows who needs an ambulance, it is expensive. What a treasure you have in Port St. Lucie with the PSL Volunteer Ambulance. If you need durable medical equipment, you can borrow it from the PSL Volunteer Ambulance and then return it. Words cannot express the gratitude we have for the PSL Volunteer Ambulance Service. So with that, I'm going to introduce you to Jeff and Tina Ross, what angels they are, so that they can better explain their need, why they need it, how soon they need it, and they might even need some extra hands to move so that they will not have a lot of downtime. They need to be ready to transport quickly because people don't stop going to doctors just because they have to move into a new facility. And before long, it will be season here. And for those of you that do not know, from November until after Mother's Day, we have an influx of snowbirds. And some of them may need the service as well. So, say good evening, Tina and Jeff, to our listening audience.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Now, let's go back in history a little bit. Tell me the history of the business and why it got started.
To the best of my understanding, obviously I wasn't here. It goes back to, I want to say it was 1979, and it took a handful of people, and they were the ones initially that started the board of officers. But somehow, and I don't quite get this, but they recognized the need, and as most people do, most of us see a need at some point, and it's the rare few that attempt to do something about it, and it's even the rarer few that are able to do something about it. Well, this smaller group, they they literally knocked from door to door, and I guess you could do this in the 70s. Things were different. But they went door-to-door knocking, trying to raise funds to buy a used ambulance. And somehow they actually pulled this off. They got the licensing done through the state and whatnot. And I think there was a bit more to it than that. And I want to say it probably goes back to about this time, unless I'm wrong. Like currently now, if you were to come into Port St. Lucie, and I would think most anywhere, you would have to get what's called a certificate of need. In other words, you would have to approach an EMS board of that county and say, listen, I want to start an ambulance service. I understand that there are ambulances running in this area. Is there still a need for me to come in without hindering their business? And I guess they may have had to have gone through that unless that hadn't been established yet, but I know it is today. And they actually got this up and running, and the idea was basically to help those who were confined to bed, confined to their house. How could they get to doctor's appointments with their disabilities and being confined? Is anyone helping them? And they must have known somebody, or maybe quite a few people, to recognize that there was a need for this there. And this went on for some time. Once they got it running, I think I heard stories from some of the other older board members that have been around since it started that it was completely volunteer. Like right now, we have a couple EMTs that are paid to do what we do, and I'm one of them. But back then, when it was started through the 80s and maybe even into the 90s, they would actually take the ambulance home. And whenever they got a call, they would run out to the front of the driveway, get in the truck, and go on this transport. And the funny thing is, they actually used to do emergency work as well. Now, and things are different today. You know, it's 100% non-emergency, with the exception of we do what's called EMS standby events, and I'll get into that later. Excuse me. But they used to do emergency work as well. They literally used to run sort of side by side to some degree with the St. Lucie County Fire Department, and they would do minimal transports like BLS level, nothing really too major. And this went on until the mid-90s, when the St. Lucie County Fire District took over complete jurisdiction over what's called 911 response. And after that point, they just switched completely to non-emergency. And that's where we're at today.
Tina,
but
how
it's
did
been
you
free. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead. Continue.
I was just going to say, it's been free since then, and it's free now. That part has never changed.
So if my husband, who is disabled, let's say for whatever reason, I'm down and I can't get him to a doctor's appointment and there's no one else available, and we call you guys, y'all would transport my husband at no charge to us, correct?
Absolutely.
See, ladies
and
gentlemen,
it is completely free.
This is why we cannot lose this service, because there are many, many elderly, like my mother who is in Georgia, who cannot get into her car anymore. She cannot walk. She has to depend on someone else to take her to her appointments. And it's humiliating at best and frustrating at worst to try to find transportation when you are elderly and disabled. This service is free to that person. You're not, that person is not charged. So when you're on a fixed income, this is like a manna from heaven, because they will come and get you. They will take you. They will pick you up. All you have to do is have someone make the appointment. We cannot let this go away. Tina, I'm going to ask you, how did you and Jeff get involved in this?
Well, Jeff has actually been a part of the company for 12 years. He started as just the EMT, and over the lot of years, he's earned his way up to where he is today, which is president and the chief EMT. I actually just came on board with them 2 years ago. When they moved into their new location, I saw a need, and because they are a 501c3 and they do run on donations, I pretty much am more of a volunteer base. I don't get paid a lot to be there. But, you know, the reason I'm there far foresees that, because I'm there to offset the administrative side to Jeff, to help him with that, and to be there for those who come who have a need for medical equipment that may have been missed because of them being out on a transport at that time, which they have in the past. They've missed many of opportunities to help them. But when we moved to the new location 2 years ago, I just approached and I just felt it. It was just in my heart to just say, you know, I understand money is an issue. You can't really hire on too many because finances are just not there. I mean, even with the donation letter that comes in, it is literally, by the end of the year, they're literally just praying, because it gets tight. It gets to the point sometimes where they're just like, okay, we're not sure we're going to make it. So I just approached him and I said, you know what, even if it's just $2 an hour, it's okay, because just to be here to make sure that we can meet a need that comes up when they're not here, to answer the phones, to keep them going, to keep the transports coming through and getting booked and helping those in need, that's how I came on board. I just pretty much volunteered my services, volunteered my heart, and I've been there ever since. Jeff is my husband. So, but you know, when we're there, I take care of all those things that used to weigh on him. Now he's free to focus on getting the transport done, helping those in need, and not really worried about the administrative duties of it all.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. You told me earlier you have two ambulances. For the listening audience, I know how many go out at a time. Tell them how many go out at a time and why more do not.
We basically, as it started back, like I mentioned earlier, back in the 70s and 80s and into the 90s, at some point it was completely volunteer, and I guess it got difficult to staff actual EMTs at some, basically to some degree, because basically everyone has to work. So a decision was made to actually, and I don't know when this is, I'm sorry, but to actually pay EMTs some sort of payroll to some degree. And it was always quite kept pretty minimal just to reserve finances for, you know, the whole bank of whatever is left there to keep this thing functioning. Because we're looking at, like today, I want to say it's approximately, to do what we do, I think we incur a budget of maybe $80,000-$90,000 a year, and that's just to keep the doors open and to keep the thing running. There's just there's so many different challenges. It's expensive. So basically, we have enough to keep one ambulance going Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and to pay two EMTs. And we have another truck that we just sort of use for backup, but we don't have EMTs to staff it because we just don't have enough coming in to pay for another two EMTs. And again, we're not talking about an exorbitant amount here. We're just talking about very minimal, so at the very least. But because of that, we can only really afford one truck and one crew a day.
So what you're telling me, or what I'm understanding, is half, for the sake of this discussion, because you guys told me you service about 500 people a month, I could probably
It's about like 500 a year. And
500 a year.
It doesn't sound like an awful lot, but you have to look at it like it's there's only one truck and two EMTs, so we can only do so much at the same time.
That's where I was going. So you could double that if you had the resources to double it. You could run that other truck and put two more EMTs mm-hmm. out there. If you get a call that Susie Q over here on Florestan has to be somewhere at noon and Joe Schmo over on Bayshore has to be somewhere at noon, whoever called first gets the truck.
Absolutely. We could do most definitely more than what we're doing now. It's certainly feasible that we could double our workload.
So really what you guys have is two needs. You need a building before December and probably some volunteers so that you can get moved and get back up and running so you don't have downtime. And you need enough funding, double the $80,000 to $90,000, to run you the entire year without holding your breath and holding your nose until the letters go out again. So you can run the two trucks and run the two other EMTs, because I'm going to tell you, this community is growing. And as this community grows, the need is going to grow. So how many cities do y'all service? Is it just Port St. Lucie?
We just actually service Port St. Lucie alone, and that's kind of been established for a couple of reasons, because if we were to start venturing into Fort Pierce or Stewart, then we're looking at a rise fuel costs, and that's going to, again, deplete the account just a little bit faster. And again, there's not a whole lot in there to deplete in the first place. So we do what we can to try to reserve and stretch it to make it go as far as possible. And the other reason is basically when we do an annual fundraiser, it's a letter, a mailing, and it's done once a year. It's typically done around December, January-ish. And we keep that in Port St. Lucie. So we try to raise funds here and make sure the money gets used here. So I don't know if that clears.
If let's say Susie Q has a doctor in Fort Pierce, will y'all take her to Fort Pierce or to Lawnwood, or do you just take them to the doctors here within Port St. Lucie?
In some cases, that's definitely come up. In some cases, some of the physicians, depending on the day of the week, they have different locations they go to, and it's really worked out where, for the most part, that if someone has an appointment in Fort Pierce, that they can schedule or reschedule for, I guess, an office nearby in Port St. Lucie if they have one. And odds are a good amount of the time they do. But then again, there are those exceptions that their only office is in Fort Pierce or Seward for that matter. And we just unfortunately, because of the rules that we've established to try to stretch every dollar and make it go as far as we can, that constrains us to Port St. Lucie. So it leaves folks out that have to go elsewhere, unfortunately.
Well, if you are, let's think big here, because I only think big. It's not in my repertoire to think small. If you could get enough funds to operate outside of Port St. Lucie, would you guys be willing to do that as well?
Yeah, oh, most certainly. As long as the funds were there to provide without fear of, are we going to use too much fuel and are we going to close the business down because we can't carry it and little silly things like that. As long as the funds are there, there's you're talking about room for growth. And there is really a lot of room for growth here because there's just so much potential that it's a free ambulance. I mean, there are other companies out there doing what we do and they charge. And they don't just charge, and I'm not here to point fingers, that they're not cheap. There is no reason why that we shouldn't be the most busiest ambulance service out there for non-emergency because for free. If I could throw this out there, I wanted to bring this up. I had a conversation with the state, the EMS division, the state of Florida. It's in Tallahassee. They oversee all of the EMS that goes on, whether it's emergency or non-emergency in the state of Florida. I had a really nice conversation, and I poked for some information, and they were glad to oblige. Basically, I found out there are literally less than 5 free ambulances left in the state of Florida. That's it. And Port St. Lucie has one here. They have one here, and it's been running for 37 years now. I mean, there's got to be something we can do to keep this going. This is a big deal.
Well, let me ask Tina this. Tina, if you guys were willing to do more than one fundraiser a year, if we could get some people in the community to come together to chair and head up a fundraiser, would that help you guys?
Oh, absolutely. The benefits of having this company thriving and continue to go forward, it's monumental. And we've been kind of at a gridlock because we don't have money to market, we don't have money to advertise, and we have sought that. And it's expensive just to run a small quarter page advertisement. It is astronomical. And being a 501c3 and literally holding our breath, as you said, and pinching our nose to make sure that we are going to be okay, marketing is not part of, it's not in our budget because we can't afford it. I have been, since I came on, I created the Facebook page for them. I got them on Google+. I even put them in Yellow Book. So I've got them on there. I've done what I can. I've shared the information. I am not afraid to share the information with anybody at any time. So that's one of the benefits of being on here is, you know, Jeff is, he's the EMT and the chief, and he's got a lot of hats that he carries. And so I've kind of come alongside of him and have just picked up where I know where my gifts and my talents could benefit. And absolutely, fundraisers would be key. If there could be any way, somehow, some way, that we could do that just to get the name out, just to introduce ourselves. We have invited those who don't know us to come see what we do. Come look at what, you know, come look at the trucks, come meet the EMTs, you know, come meet the voice behind the phone that schedules the appointments. Yvonne, I'm telling you, it's not just being Jeff's wife. I'm no longer his wife when I'm there. This is my heart too. Saving this company is beyond it just needs to be saved. Just for the sake of the people, it just needs to be saved.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you contact Loretta at the chamber?
We have not contacted her. Jeff, actually, I'm not sure if we shared the link with you. I believe I did, and if I didn't, I'm sorry. He just actually went before the council the other night. So right after we had spoken with you initially, he had that same night he was at the council meeting on Monday. So
and how did that go?
Really well. He did phenomenal. Jane Riley, who is the Jeff, I'm sorry, can you interject her position for me, please?
Jane Riley. She was a former council member, I guess, on the Port St. Lucie City Council.
Mm-hmm.
And currently she is on the advisory board, I believe, for the EMS council of the county, I want to say. But she's very nice, and she's got a wonderful heart, and she sees the need, like we do, for this. And she came alongside, and we each had, I think, 3 minutes to speak before the city council, the mayor and the rest of them. And she spoke before me, and then I followed up and spoke for a couple minutes as well, and it went pretty well. The mayor responded personally and said that he was, I want to say he said he was looking forward to getting together with Mr. Ross, myself, and Jane Riley to brainstorm, to try to figure out something. So that tells me that they see a need as well.
All right. If Greg told you that, follow up with an email to Greg, because Greg is a man of his word. I know Greg personally. So follow up with Greg, send him an email, remind him that you spoke and that he said that he was looking forward to meeting with you guys, and set up a meeting.
Okay.
Because
I know I had made an attempt to contact Justin, and I guess that's his – I think Justin holds the mayor's schedule, I believe, for appointments, among other things.
Do this for me. You go on the Port St. Lucie City Council website, you find Greg's email address, and you send it to him personally.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Trust me on this. And tell him that Yvonne Sewell said that he needed to get with y'all. Tell him I sent y'all, because
okay.
He knows us. And
okay.
This is, Tina, I hear the passion in your voice, and my heart
yes,
breaks,
ma'am.
Because if we let this die, this is what the community does not understand that Jeff was telling you guys. This
mm-hmm.
service was grandfathered in after the new legislation came out. So if this service dies, it will be very hard to get it back, because
mm-hmm.
I know politics, and what will happen is the ambulance services out there that charge, they will fight it because
mm-hmm.
they will lose business. We do not want this service to go away. When you have someone who is disabled, who is on a limited income of $1,000 a month, they cannot afford a $200 ambulance bill to be transported from point A to point B. That
mm-hmm.
would be their medicine for a month. That might be their food for a month.
Mm-hmm.
That might be their light bill for a month. Or their water bill
mm-hmm.
for a month. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have to save this company. We have to find them a building. If we have to beat down every door in Port St. Lucie to get somebody to listen, we have to save this company. Now, Tina,
mm-hmm.
Have you started your website? Have you started setting up
the website?
Good for
yes,
you.
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Soon as you get it up, you can also download this program tonight on there once it goes into archives.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Have either of you found anything yet to anyone about a possible building?
No, ma'am. There have been no contact.
As of right now, well, I'm sorry. As of right now, I don't think we really have anything as far as potential opportunities. But there really are a lot of irons on the fire.
My suggestion would be to contact Anthony Westbury. He is one of the opinion columnists for the paper. I think I told Tina that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And then If you can't get him, just call the paper and talk to anybody you can, and don't stop. Call him every day. What happens, I have found in my 65 years, starting at a very small age, is the squeaky wheel is the one that gets the grease. If it becomes so important that you harass the daylights out of people, they'll cave just to shut you up and go away. I'm very good at that. I have several friends who are in the real estate business that I am expecting them to jump in and start looking for buildings. Tell the people exactly what you guys, A, first of all, what your dream building is, B, second of all, what you need, and third, what you can manage to get by with.
Do you want me to take this, Tina, or do you want to?
Go ahead.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah.
I would say, as far as the dream building, I would say it's pretty close to what we have right now, with the exception that it's sort of. I think at some point it used to be an auto mechanic shop, and it's in a strip plaza, so it's not its own address. It's in a joint building with different bays and garages and whatnot. But it's really, really big. We had to build an office when we went in there, because when we moved in 2 years ago in 2014, it was just a concrete floor, and that was it. I mean, there was a bathroom in the corner, and that was self-enclosed, but there was no office. And it was very tricky because we had to overcome, well, how do we build an office, and how do we deal with the air conditioning so where it's not feeding air from the garage, because one of our concerns was how do we do this without recycling the air from the garage with the from the diesel exhaust and without getting any of us sick or terminally ill here from breathing this in constantly. But other than that, I mean, it's really, I would say, on top of what we have now, if we had something that was its own building with its own address on a main road, which has its pros and cons, but one of the benefits that I believe that we've never had is that we're exposed. We're right out in the open. And I've heard this for years, and I still hear it, and I know it's partly due to marketing, but it's also partly because nobody knows where we're at. I mean, where we're at right now, we're at the end of a building in Village Green Drive, and we're sort of seen, but not really. If we were on a main road, I know that people would drive by and at some point say to themselves, when did this open up? Is this new? I've never heard of them. The funny thing is, it's been here since 1979. We could really use something that would allow us to park the ambulances inside, and that's for multiple reasons, obviously security reasons. The other concern is, everything in the ambulance is, it can be pretty pricey, expensive. And a lot of that stuff, if not most of it, has been made to be sterile and disposable, and it's in plastic packages and whatnot. And that does not react well to the heat.
It melts.
The actual disposable masks and tubing and all that stuff, even though it's sealed in plastic, it gets sticky and it just really starts to deteriorate. It doesn't fare well in hot weather. So it would be very optimal, if not on our dream list, to be able to park the truck in a garage, which is kind of what we have now, and it keeps it out of the heat and all that, and out of the sun. I think we could get away with, and this is one of the things that I intend on bringing up with Greg, is I know the city owns numerous properties that they've appropriated by different means. Would they charity lease even a home to us that maybe has been rezoned, or it's in a not so much a residential area, but slash business area? And that's happened, with zoning changes and stuff. And that way it would allow us to park the ambulance in the driveway. Now, of course, it would be outside and it would be exposed to the heat and the weather, but, there are some things that we have to make an exception just to survive. And we just have to learn to do that, because we don't have a lot of money from year to year, and you just have to learn to deal with what you have and make the best of it. So I don't know
well,
if that kind of clears things up, or should
yes,
I
it does.
Expound further?
You have your dream level, but you have what you'll settle for in order to stay in business.
Yeah.
And you guys have got to stay in business. This is optimal. This failure is not an option here with this company. You've got to be able to operate. So our goals are to have more than one way to use money, more than just a letter, because even if you get $80,000 to $90,000 in donations, you don't have something if an emergency happens. What if both of those trucks go down? You have no way of, you're sunk. You don't have any way of repairing them because you don't have anything to fall back on. And sadly, that happens with non-for-profit companies. People, A, are not aware, and B, don't understand that this particular service is for them. And it's, again, ladies and gentlemen, this is a free service to you. This company does not charge to transport disabled patients from point A to point B. And let me ask you this, Tina. Is it just for the elderly, or let's say someone has a child who's disabled and they have no way of transporting this child? They don't have a car. They don't have anybody close, or the people that they have around them, the child won't fit in the car for whatever reason. Will y'all take that child?
I'm just going to actually, well, let me let Jeff answer that one because he knows more of the criteria because he's been with them longer to know more the dynamics of what's accepted and what isn't. So I'm going to let Jeff answer that for you.
Excuse me. I mean, most definitely, it's not just for the elderly. As it turns out, I want to say that that's mostly what we do is for the elderly. But no, there isn't an age restriction. We will transport pediatric patients, children as well. There really aren't a lot of exceptions and criteria that needs to be met in order to qualify for a service. You know, they need to be going to somewhere in Port St. Lucie and typically have some sort of difficulty in walking or bed confined, and that's it. And that doesn't always adhere to a certain age group, if you know what I mean.
Right. Which again, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a free service. And I cannot stress enough that if you let this get away, if these people are forced to close their doors, you're not going to get it back. You're going to pay about $200 one way, depending on where you go, but you're going to pay about $200 one way to go from your house to a doctor's office, or from your house to therapy, or from your house to an outpatient procedure. You don't want to lose the service. So we have to get them into a building when in December do you guys have to be out?
We're not really sure. we just know it's sometime in December. So that leads us to believe, I mean, they're going to kind of work with us a little bit, I think. And maybe that's just us hoping, but not really entirely positive yet.
They haven't given you a letter stating when you need to go.
No. No, it's just kind of been verbal, and they've been really good about it at the same time. I don't want to, bash them or be mean in return for any reason. They appear to be working with us, I think, which is much better off than where we were at. And I have to be careful what I say here when we were on the hospital property. And I did mention earlier, we had a building. I want to say that they were there for about 34 years. And it was a garage behind St. Lucie Medical Center. And the organization was located there since the early days, for 34 years or so. And it was sort of half of the building was for maintenance of the hospital, and the other half they had charity leased to us for $1 a year. And each time that hospital had changed hands, I don't know the exact order, but at some point it was kind of Columbia Medical Center. I think at one point it was labeled HCA. It was called Port St. Lucie Hospital, and now currently it's St. Lucie Medical Center. But each time it's changed hands, they've honored the charity lease and allowed the organization to reside there for 34-plus years. Well, new management decided to come in because the old management that were familiar with us and the agreements that we had, well, they retired. So new management came in, and they deemed it prudent to utilize the complete building for storage, for maintenance storage, and they gave us 90 days to vacate the premises. That was kind of stressful, and it was not fun by any means. And I didn't really think that we were going to survive that. And in this case, you know, they've given us a total of like 6 months, and it seems like it might be flexible, but I'm not really sure and not sure how much. But that was not fun. And again, I'm not here to slander anybody. I'm just stating what we went through, and we almost dissolved the organization.
Mm-hmm. And see, we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen this time. That's why I threw in there that if volunteers want to help you guys come move after we get you a place, or if you need help putting up walls or fixing this building to your needs, reach out to the community, because there's enough able-bodied people in this community that are carpenters or plumbers or sanders or whatever, that they should be able to give back to their community. I believe that we are only as successful as we allow others to be, and you guys have to be successful. This is so, so important. I can, as a caregiver for my husband who is disabled, I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that being stressed out about having to take someone who is disabled to a doctor's appointment or even out to dinner, that's sometimes it gets comical. But to know that that service is available and you don't have to worry that your loved one is not being taken care of, because these gentlemen that are running this ambulance are licensed EMTs. If your loved one goes into a crisis, they know exactly what to do and how to do it. They're not just some Joe Blow off the street that's running an ambulance. These guys are trained. And I know what they have to go through to be trained. I would trust Jeff with my husband. I don't trust a lot of people, but I would trust Jeff with my husband, because he would do exactly what needed to be done. Because my husband has COPD. Mm-hmm. He's insulin-dependent diabetic. He also has only 2 working valves in his heart. He has high blood pressure. So if he were to crash for whatever reason, Jeff would go with that knowledge, and Jeff would know what to do. So if you can help, if you know someone who knows someone, we are going to give you phone numbers. We are going to give you email addresses. They are on Facebook under PSL Ambulance Service, I think. Am I right, Tina?
Yes, it's there's that one. That's the main one. There is another one, but that one's more of the personal side of Jeff's page. But that one is the PSL Free Ambulance Service. Yes, that is the Facebook address.
Go and like that page. Get in contact with the city. Send Greg an avalanche of emails and phone calls. Let him know how important it is that they help this company find a place to go to quickly, efficiently, and effectively. I would say contact the city council, but they're up for re-election, and most of them are going to be gone anyway. But contact Greg. Write him, phone him, tell him that we need this service and we need these people to be moved immediately. and without a whole lot of drama, so that there's no downtime, so that your loved one has the ability to call for an appointment and know that they're going to be there. Any one of you that is good at chairing special projects, I challenge you to help them set up a fundraiser so we can get both of these ambulances running so that we can hire two more EMTs. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you've got a jewel in this company. And if you let it get away, it's your own fault. Tina, tell this tell these lovely folks how they can reach you guys. Number and your email address.
Okay. Well, you can reach Jeff or I at the office at 772-335-5433. You can also email pslfreeambulance@gmail.com. That's pslfreeambulance@gmail.com. If you would like to contact us each personally, you can call us at, so you can call Jeff at 772-359-7036. That's his direct line. If you'd like to talk with me, my number is 772-800-8660. You can also, in the meantime, come and visit us at the office. We are located at 1514 Southeast Village Green Drive, Port St. Lucie, 34952. We're open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. And if there's anything you need to discuss after hours, you're more than welcome to call us.
Jeff, when y'all get that call, how long, what all does the let me back up. When you receive a call from someone who needs the service, what all do they have to have ready in their hand to tell you so that you can go pick
I mean,
up
it,
that patient?
It's real easy. I mean, it's just, well, we basically just get the just basic information. I mean, who are we transporting? Where are we picking them up from? Where are they going to? And why are they going there? It's just kind of minimal information. It's nothing super complicated. It's really just the basic needs that we need to know to do the transport. We make it pretty easy.
If they have a caregiver, is that caregiver allowed to ride along?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that happens quite often. We allow them to ride in the back if they're more comfortable that way. And usually they are. It's no problem. There's plenty of room in the back of the ambulance, and we're not stepping in each other's toes back there. So,
when you drop them off at the doctor's office, let's say, do they call you when they're ready to leave to go back home, or do you pick them up at a specific time?
It depends. Like, sometimes we'll transport someone there and they're going to be like 15, 20 minutes. And in that situation, we just sort of hang out in the waiting room or in the back somewhere and wait for them to finish. And they get our attention, and we'll just take them back home from there. Sometimes the office visit can be, you know, an hour or more, or it's undetermined. And they'll basically just receive a phone number. We give them a business card, and we give the doctor's office one as well, just so there's no mistaking if it gets lost or misplaced. And someone calls us. And the way we do our scheduling is we try to space things because we believe in quality, not so much quantity, as we would love to up the numbers as well, because we know, you know, the more that we do, it's not so much that the more money we make, because we don't make any money doing this.
Right.
But the more that we do, we know that we're impacting the city of Port St. Lucie, I guess, with the more that we do. So it's encouraging as well. But I also came from a profit, I guess, ambulance service, if you will. And I saw what it was like on the other side. And when I came here, it encouraged me and taught me a few things, how things should be run here. And again, I'm not here to slander anybody. That's not what that's about. It was a valuable experience, and it allowed me to see clearly how to do things here, how it could be done differently, I should say.
Right.
And that was really kind of valuable. So we sort of space things out if we can. That way someone is not waiting on us, because we believe, you know, in what we're doing. We're not just doing it for free. We're trying to do an excellent service for someone. So on top of giving a transport free, we really, like, if it's within our grasp schedule-wise that day, we really try to do it in such a way that we're there immediately when they're done, and we take them back home. I mean, overall, it's a pleasant experience. They're not waiting
right,
2 hours for us.
Because there's nothing worse than sitting and waiting in a waiting room for 3 hours for the doctor,
mm-hmm.
and then wait another hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours for transportation, because the elderly get tired very, very fast, and they're at the doctor's because they don't feel well. They have health
mm-hmm.
issues. Well, by the time they're put through the ringer by the doctor, all they want to do is go home and go to sleep. And like you mm-hmm. say, Jeff, y'all would rather have quality service than quantity service. And you
mm-hmm.
can have that quality service and the quantity service if we can get that other ambulance up and running.
Yes.
And that is tantamount. Not only is this building important, but like I said, I dream big. I mean, if we're going to go in, we're going to go all in. But we
mm-hmm.
want to get this other ambulance up and running for this company. Jeff and Tina believe in what they do, ladies and gentlemen. I hear it in their voices. They're very dedicated, and I'm sure that they have had to make a lot of sacrifices for this company. And it is a non-for-profit. So you're not going to make $150,000 a year in this business, because you're just not. Because everything goes back into the business for the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Because the patient is their most important commodity. And the patient doesn't pay for the service. So we have to help them. We have to come together as a community, and we have to help them make this thing just fly like the wind. We got to make the next 36 years even better than the last 36, because the people, and I don't even know who the people that started this, but they had a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And their vision was to give back to their community. And this, Tina and Jeff, I am sure this is what you guys, this is your vision now, is to give back to your community. Because if you live long enough, one day you may need this service.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
If I could mention also, I mean, there are a couple other people on the board, because it's a nonprofit organization, so nobody technically owns it. It's overseen by a board of officers. And there is a couple other people as well. So I would be negligent if I didn't mention it. You know, it's not all myself, and it's not all Tina, my wife as well. There's vice president, there's treasurer. And, you know, it really takes a team effort for all of us to do this, because we can't do everything, and they can't do everything, but all of us together kind of keep this thing going as well. In fact, one of the board members goes back to, and God bless her heart, she's such a good person. She's been doing this so long. She's actually the vice president, but she was one of the board members that actually started this. It's really, really quite neat. She's got a lot of stories.
Would they be upset if you gave their names?
I don't think so. No, I don't believe so. The vice president is Rayanne Wallace, and she was just involved from the very beginning. The treasurer is Jana Jennings, and then there's myself and Tina, and all of us. We kind of just, you know, steer this thing the way we think it needs to go. And I think we're doing an okay job. I think we could do a better job, but I think that's out of our hands. We really just need donations. We need extra help. We need other people to see this common vision and attempt to do something about it like we've done.
Well, you know that, and I think they still do it at the, I think it's the Civic Center down there on US 1, not the Civic Center, whatever that monstrosity is down there. They used to have a thing on Saturday, I think it's called First Saturday or First Something, where you could put up a booth and hand out information. that would be something to check into. Mm. Also, you know that we're having our elections on August the 30th. And what you could do is go up to the Civic Center there on Bayshore and walk around and go to Kinko's or go to Staples and do up some cheap flyers and wear your, if you have shirts, wear your shirts and hand out flyers. And let people know, because like you said, if they don't know, they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there will be people coming in and out of the voting booths all day long. And just walk up and talk to them. And let them know what you're about and what you need. And just give them the information with your phone numbers and the emails. And who knows where that will go. I know you don't go into Fort Pierce, but on Friday, on the first Friday, you could set up a booth there in Fort Pierce there on the water. They have, I forget what they call it, but it's a Friday evening thing where you have music and dancing.
I think it's
and
Friday Fest.
Friday
Fest. If I can recall, for something like that.
Right. You could set up a booth for, I think it's $20, $25, and just hand out information. Because a lot of people that go to Friday Fest live here in Port St. Lucie.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would be worth it to do that. On Saturday mornings, they have the farmer's market. You a couple of times a month or once a month, see if you could set up a booth or just take your flyers and go up there and hand out flyers at the farmer's market. Because a lot of people that live in Port St. Lucie shop at that farmer's market. And you would be surprised at what a handshake and smile will do. Information will do. Again, if you don't know, you don't know, and you don't know that you don't know. But I've learned in politics, and I'm an independent author, so all of the marketing has to come from me. Nobody markets me but me, and I'm very successful at it. And it's because I do that. I get out and I talk to people and I shake hands and I hand them information. When you hand out the flyer, hand out a business card. Invite them down to the office. But it will work. We have about a little less than 2 minutes left. I'm going to give you guys the last word to talk about anything you want to talk. I do want to get your contact information again, Tina, before we get off from here.
Okay.
I'll hit you up about the last minute or so. Jeff, what else would you like to impart to our audience?
Gee, I don't know. If I can just reiterate again that what the state quoted to me, I mean, there's literally less than 5 free ambulances running left in the state of Florida. It is a difficult and sometimes can be a monumental thing to do, and we just can't do it alone. And, you know, someday, you know, you might end up needing this service, someone listening. And It just needs to keep going. I can't tell you how many people we transport that I come in contact with that are so extremely in awe, for one, that we don't charge for this, but eternally grateful for doing what we do. We just continue to touch people's hearts, and it's just amazing. This needs to keep going. There is no option. There's got to be something we can do.
Tina, very quickly, give the phone number at the office.
Okay, 772-335-5433.
We are down to the 52nd mark, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say thank you for the honor that Tina and Jeff Ross with the Port St. Lucie Non-Emergency Ambulance Service has given me and allowing me to bring this broadcast to you tonight. I am begging this people of Port St. Lucie, let's keep this service because, as Jeff says, you don't know when you might need it yourself. Jeff and Tina, thank you so much. And
thank you.
Anything
and you're
you
welcome.
Guys
thank you for
You're welcome. When anything you guys need, if you need marketing, let me know. Call me tomorrow, Tina, and we'll put some more stuff. We'll go over some more things. I am signing off now. This is Yvonne Mason, Off the Chain. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you
Good
so
night.
Much. That was fun.
Good night.
Have a great night.
You're welcome. Call me tomorrow, Tina.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.